go ahead and turn this on.
Matt, I have a question.
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, since you created that group page, will you be posting the audio on there?
Will I be posting the audio on the group page?
Yes.
I have to talk with Jonathan about that. I don't know how that works. If you noticed, I created two group pages last night. So, unfortunately, Vince texted me. He's like, why do you got two group pages?
So I screenshot both different group pages. I was like, do you see what's happening here?
That's what younger brothers are.
Google had to tell me how to delete the one group page. Yes, I created a group page. If you're not on it, it's because I didn't have access to your Facebook page or something of that nature, and I don't know how to add people who are not on my friends list. So, yeah, to the group page. So, if you want to be added to the group page, it's Maranatha Fellowship Creation the Christ class. That's what it comes up as. Send me a you want to be on it or something, and I'll add it. Or just send me a friend request, and I'll friend you and put you on there. So, because I was trying to search for everybody that needed it. So, how many of this is your first night? First night? Okay, we got a few of you here for the first night. This is the first night for you. The books did not come in. They were supposed to be here today, so unfortunately, those of you who don't have a book, I will get you a book on Sunday. I'll bring them to church if you're here Sunday, and we'll have them to give out. Let's just open with a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. So, Father, it's good to be here tonight, and we're going to talk about another cool aspect to who you are as God. And I ask that your Spirit be with us tonight, guide us, and give us wisdom and guide our thoughts and help us to understand truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, who can tell me building block number one from the first week? Rome week 3.
Foundation.
And what foundation principle are we, what do we cover? Foundational principle number one. The core is what?
God.
Is God.
Well,
who God is.
Remember that was week 2.
Right.
Week 1 we went over
it's creation.
Well, no, I'm going to hold it up. I don't remember what was this called? The good book, right? The good book or the Bible, scriptures, the Word of God. And does anybody remember how many authors to the books there were?
40.
How many books are there?
66.
And how many years did it span?
1600.
How many?
1600
years. So that alone tells us that God is God, right? I asked that question, and Lynn's like, you really didn't tell me anything. So you really didn't answer my question, you know. So, yeah, that's building the foundational principle, that this is the Bible. We call it the Word of God. Some people call it the good book. There's many different names for it, but this is God's what to us? His story, right, his story to us, his message. And basically going from Genesis all the way through, we're going to go through this together. So, all right, week 2, we talked about who is God, right? And anybody have any thoughts from that week, last week? Any questions? There were some words we used. We talked a little bit about the Trinity. And God, and we didn't really go in detail about the Trinity or what it is, but and how to explain that. But from God's perspective, what type of person is how He views us if we say He doesn't exist? A fool. He in His Scripture He calls if we say that God does not exist, that's His perspective of us. That's what He says, not me. So don't say that. He's saying that. That's what God says. What was the big word, or I call it the big word that we learned about? That God is, he He is supreme. And another word that we would have, sovereign. He is sovereign over everything. And that word sovereign meant that he is supreme or over all and above all. So that's what we talked about when God says that, or if someone says that God is sovereign, that's what they're referring to. That he is above all, over all, he's supreme. Why is God that way? Why is God over all and supreme and everything else?
Because he's God.
Huh? Because he's God. Because that's our answer. That's not a good enough answer. Why are we saying that God? Why does God?
Because he is, was, and all the time.
Ah, yes. He was there before at the beginning. He was there creator. Before the beginning. What's that?
Creator.
He's the creator. He has no end. Everything about God makes him bigger than anybody else. So we recognize that he is sovereign. He alone came into existence. We talked about Jeremiah 10:6, where he's referred to as the Most High. And all throughout Scripture, he's referred to as the Most High. Any other thoughts on those first two lessons? Any questions?
I mean, I had that one, but you told me to put it on hold. Did you want me to bring that one back up?
No. What was the question again?
Why do we need the Bible? Why did God give us the Bible when he could just, like, tell us all of this history face to face?
Okay, and I told you that's the question that you'll learn as you go through here, right?
Hold off on it.
Yeah, you just keep that thought too.
I got you.
The Facebook page that is created is designed for throughout the week as you're going through your personal study and you're like, hey, I got a question. Shoot it out on there so everybody can hear it. We may dialogue back and forth through there, but it's just to get everybody's minds thinking. If you're not into Facebook, sorry about that, but bring your question to class on Thursday night. But the goal is behind is to get our minds thinking. I might post little things here and there, questions throughout the week or the night before, and so on and so forth. But all right, well, let's go on to lesson three. So, and again, my apologies for the books not being here for those of you who were supposed to have a book this week. They were supposed to be here today, and they'll probably show up tomorrow. Okay, we're going to go with the lesson today is God created the angels and God created the heavens and the earth. What do you think of when you think of angels?
God's soldiers.
They're God's soldiers?
Golden.
The garden? Okay.
Guardians.
Oh, guardians. Guardians. Okay, my bad. Guardians. Has anybody ever seen an angel?
I thought I did.
You thought you did? Okay. What did it look like when you said you thought it did? You did.
Look, big and white.
Big and white.
Bright.
Bright. Did it have halo?
Of course.
Had the halo?
No.
What? No, I'm asking these questions because of what in our minds today.
Sometimes we refer to other people as angels.
Ah, yes. Yeah, we refer to each other sometimes as angels. Well, you know, that person was such an angel to me today. Or, you know, we use that term pretty loosely sometimes. And I'm not saying it's wrong to use that metaphor when you're referring to somebody, but it is something that when you talk about an angel, we're talking about spirits, spirit beings. They have no body. And what I mean by that, they don't have a physical body like we do. And in our society today, there is a ton. You can watch TV shows. You can watch the news. You can look in the newspaper. You can go on Facebook. And there is a ton of references to spirit world or spirit being. So on Facebook, it's popular to find out your horoscope. This will tell you about your personality. Fill this questionnaire out. Or you'll find things where you'll see them. I don't know about so much anymore, but you would see a lot of times when you drive down the road a psychic. You know, stop in here and have your palm read, or that type of thing. You know, it's very popular in our world today, and when you think of the word angel, or you read about that in the Bible, What comes to your mind? What stands out to you? How important is it to you to know about angels?
I think they're kind of like a fantastic being, because in more than one scripture in the Bible, angels always say, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of me."
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it seems like, you know, they could be frightening.
Ah, right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, that's my view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be a fearful thing. I'm going to turn it down to vibrate. Let me read to you what Colossians 1:16 says about angels and about how God. And as you listen to this verse, think about what it's actually saying. And you, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading some other verses, so I'll call on you, the volunteers. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." So in that verse, what did you hear that angels, principalities or powers or dominions or different words there are used, depending on your translation? Why were they created?
For him.
For him. For God, right? They were created for God. They're not created necessarily for you and I.
Right.
They were created for God and for his purpose. In Job 38:7, it talks about that the angels were there at creation. And we're going to get to the word here in creation a little bit, when God created the world and the earth and the heavens. The angels were created before the earth was created, because it says they were there praising and they were singing God's glory. They sang and shouted for joy when God said, "Created the heavens and the earth." And Job 38:7 says that. They do not have physical bodies, as I said, so that means they are not limited by time and space. Has anybody ever searched on YouTube and looked for videos of crazy things that happen? It's actually a video game, but there is an actual video clip of someone who pulls somebody in front of a truck, away from a truck, on there, and it goes around on YouTube as this is an angel being that saved this person's life from being hit by a truck. But it's obviously been proven that it's been faked and made to look like that. But there are things out there that when you're looking at them, and so you have to be careful with that. Yes, Vince?
How do you know that the angels don't have a body?
How do we know that the angels don't have a body? Anybody want to answer that one? You notice I'm not going to answer every question you ask.
I understand. That's still throwing out the question.
Okay. Sometimes they will appear as if they have a body, like when they would have appeared, like when you said they were afraid of them. You know, they came up to them.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, you'll see that over and over again. The reason they don't have a body is because they are spirits. They are not like you and I. They are not created in God's image. You and I are created in the image of God. They are not.
Right.
And so that's why they are a spirit, what we call them, a spirit being. They were created for special purposes. And someone want to grab Psalms 103, 20 and 21. We're gonna get to that there in a minute. And because they are God's, because they were created for God's purposes and for his things, they are God's angels. Now, you'll notice down below it says Lucifer, Satan, and demons. We're going to get to that. But they are God's angels. So at this point in the timeline, any spirit being that was created before the world was created, before the earth, recognize, remember that they are God's angels and they are there for his purpose. Why do they belong to God? Because he made them, right? Okay, because he made them. All right, that's a pretty simple answer. It's not really, and he's the one who sustains their life, right? Just like, well, we can't say that he sustains our life because we're going into foundational principles here. We don't know for sure that it is God, right? I'm trying to play Lynn's part tonight too. He said he likes to play the devil's advocate over there. So, in Isaiah, well, let's read Psalms. Let's scroll through here. Somebody read Psalms 103:20. Who has that?
Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word.
They do whose bidding?
God's.
And He says, praise them, right? Now hold on to that because we're going to come back to Psalms 20, verse 21. I want someone to read that one. Why would an angel be limited to certain things? They couldn't do everything. Why couldn't they do, if there's, God is spirit, we learned that last week, that God is spirit. Why aren't they able to be like God then, if they're a spirit being?
They would have a sense of authority.
Because they what?
They would have a sense of their own authority.
They would have a sense of their own authority. I'm looking for something else. That's good. What else? Why couldn't angels be as powerful as God?
Because they think they're more than God.
Because what? They think they're more than God?
There's only one God.
He didn't create them to be his equal.
Ah, he created them. And because God created them, they can never be his equal. Just like you and I can't be equal with God. So I referenced on the Facebook post, I referenced a question. Has anybody ever heard of the story of where one angel slew 185,000 soldiers? Has anybody ever heard of that story? Okay. If you want to look at it later on, read Isaiah chapter 36, 37. And you will go through there. And basically the story has it that this king comes up with his army and he defies God. He says, who are you? You can't defeat me. And your God's not going to be able to defeat me. And God sends one angel. It says, and the angel of the Lord went into the camp at night and slew 185,000 soldiers. And you can find that in the story there. And what do you think the king did after that? He got up the next morning and he stood there and defied God again? No, he left.
All right.
And so that kind of gives you the level or the capability of the type of power that God can give to those angels when he needs them to do something for him. And in Revelation 5:11, it talks about that the number of the angels was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, if you time out 10,000 times 10,000 and then add another times of thousands and thousands and you keep on going, the number is just huge. It's hard. You can't number it. It just keeps right on going and going and going. And when God created the earth, those angels were there. When angels were created, they were there to serve God and to serve Him. Just whatever purpose he called them to. In Psalms 11:4, it says, the Lord's throne is in heaven. So that is where the angels roam. Now, there are scriptures, as you'll go through, if you in your personal study, I think you're going to come across scriptures and talk about angels a lot. There's a verse as a kid growing up, the angel of the Lord encamps around, or he goes around those who fear him, and he protects them. And I remember oftentimes getting in accidents or getting close to an accident and thinking of that verse. Ah, God's angel must have been there protecting me. You know, and we oftentimes think of that. Anybody ever think about that, that you're close to an accident or you see an accident and you're like, wow, and someone lives through it? The angel of the Lord was there protecting. Again, as you go through, you're going to see some of these other, you'll see some of that stuff come out. Does God create every angel the same? No. No, he would not. There seems to be a point where there are angels that are created. If you someone grab Ezekiel 28:14, and the greatest angel that God created is, we call him today, we use this. This, as a matter of fact, I saw a commercial the other night on TV that had a TV show called Lucifer. Now, I'm not advocating watching that. I would not watch it myself, but I saw that intrigued me, and I'm like, wow, that's the first time I've really heard the word Lucifer used other than within church. Because we don't refer to him as Lucifer. We would refer to him as Satan, other words for him. But there's some, you know, somewhere along the line, somebody else did. What does Ezekiel 28:14 call him? Who has that? Go ahead.
You were an anointed cherub who covered. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones.
Okay. What? Read verse 15.
You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you.
So he was an anointed. He had a special anointing from God as an angel, and he was perfect in his ways from the day he was created. So he had no blemish, he had nothing. Kind of makes you wonder, how in the world, when we get to it, did he change his ways? Why? You know, why did he rebel against God? Which we'll get to that. Genesis 1:1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before we go there, any questions about angels? We just went briefly through there that God created them, that they are not equal with God, they are not a body, they don't have bodies like we do, they're spirit beings. But any questions that you might have that we would pertain to that?
You said that God created them for his purpose. Is that to be in heaven and worship and praise him? Whenever I picture angels in heaven, I think of them like, oh, singing.
Well, in Revelation, and I don't have my study book with me, and it may be one of the verses, but in Revelation, it says that angels are there day in, day night, 24 hours a day, singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy.
And the Greek word for angels is angelos, actually means messenger.
Messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're God's messengers, too. And you see that throughout Scripture. We'll see that over and over again, where God used an angel as a messenger to go. And I mean, I used one story where he used him as a warrior to go in and defeat on behalf of his name.
Were the Nephilims part of the angel creation?
Yeah, that's a whole other topic, the Nephilims. I mean, you could go down a whole long line of questioning with that. But
yes.
Again, that is referred to in Scripture, the Nephilim. And as you read through there, and what is that in
the sons of God.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and what are those? You know, were those the high angels in heaven?
Right.
Again, those are questions that sometimes we may get the answer to, we may not, but... again, as you go through history, and you'll find if you want some good references to historical documentation of some of that stuff, Answers in Genesis is a good link to go online and look up if you wanted to. Obviously, Creation of the Christ here, the ministry here. The Genesis record is another good thing that will talk about some of that history where it talks about the Nephilim and those things.
Mm-hmm.
Did God create the Holy Spirit?
Did God create the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, like the Holy Ghost.
Hold on to that, because we're going to get ready to come to a verse where it talks about the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Any other questions about angels? Would you want to see angels? I mean, here today, I think it'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was a kid, my dad would tell a story called about Angel Bob. Angel Bob was always doing good things for people. And his signature was that when you were driving down the road and you saw a hitchhiker walking alongside the road, and you would stop and pick up a hitchhiker and go on, and he would tell stories that, you know, you never know, because you may entertain angels unaware. There's a verse in the Bible that says you be careful, because you do good things to people, help them out. Because you never know. God may have an angel walking and who you're helping. Maybe where we get the term at, they are an angel. You know, people are like angels. But the signature was he would jerk on his earlobe before the angel disappeared. So whenever my dad got to the story, he would go like this, and we knew the angel was going to disappear. And it just, you know, things that stick in your mind when you talk about angels. But They are real. Angels are real. All right, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So when did the earth get created?
In the beginning.
In the beginning. Pretty straightforward answer. It's not a real hard one here. When God created the earth, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And going back to what Vince's question, there was not just a, they're all three in one, the Trinity. Remember that word, Trinity. Different personalities or different beings, try not to describe it here too much because I'm not supposed to really go down that path, but, and I know some of you are wanting me to go down that path, but there are three in one. They each have their own personality, maybe is the word I want to use, their own personal being. And as you go through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you will see them interact throughout Scripture. Who has Job 38 still? So we want to read Job 38, 4 through 7.
Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy.
Think about that. Foundations of the earth. Who determined that? We're understanding that God determined that. He's asking the question, who laid its cornerstone? Who was there? All the angels shouted for joy. God was there at the beginning. The angels praised and worshiped God as they created me. Think about it like this. As I was studying this, the thought that came to my mind, man, well, God basically created his own choir box, I guess you might want to say. He, in essence, before he created the earth, he created the angels. Maybe he was going to help have them do something as he would send them out. But there they were, there to cheer on God while he created the heavens and the earth. I don't know if you thought about what you think about when you think about that, but that to me is a pretty cool picture. And he has his own cheerleading section as he creates this grand picture. Now, some might say that's pride and arrogant. That could be, but he's God. So he's over everything. He's sovereign.
Hence the Big Bang, right?
Huh?
Hence the Big Bang.
Hence the Big Bang. Well, we're going to get ready to that. I knew that question was going to come out. Was it a Big Bang? Was it? But here we are. Before all this happened, nothing else existed. There was utter darkness. There was nothing. It was without void. I mean, there was nothing there. There was no form, no nothing. And here Job is writing this in this thing, and he's saying, who determined the measurements of the earth? Who determined that it's going to be 93 million miles from the earth to the sun? Who's going to determine that the 23-degree angle axis that the earth sits on so that it doesn't get burned up? Because 1 degree this way, 1 degree. Who determined all that? That is God. And because God created the universe and everything out of nothing, he is the author or the creator of it. When I created the Facebook page last night, was I creating something or was I making something? I was making something. Why was I making something?
Somebody had already created
all the pieces to putting that together. They had already put all that in place. God took the earth out of nothing. He created that out of nothing. And that's what makes him a creator. You and I do not create anything. We make things. We build things, but we don't create. We have to have something in order to make it happen. And you'll see that as he goes forward when he talks about making man and what he does with man. Someone grab Psalms 33, 8 through 9.
all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be, he commanded it and it stood firm.
He spoke it and it stood firm. He commanded it and everything. Angels cannot create anything. Even though they're spirit beings that God created, they cannot create anything. And why is that? What's the principle of why they cannot create anything?
Because God was their creator.
Because God was their creator. God created them. They cannot create anything. So, can anybody think of any story or illustration here on earth today that you know someone who created something? What do you think?
Me?
Yeah.
I was thinking sarcastically. Let me just Google that.
You were thinking sarcastically? Yeah, I mean, yeah. So Seth's saying no, you can't find anything. Anybody here ever took a meal and just said, especially if you're cooking at night, and said, spoke it, and there's a meal appeared on the table? Maybe in cartoons, but not in real life. You cannot create, and you and I cannot create anything. And yet God took it all from nothing. What does this demonstrate about God?
Power.
Yes, he is ultimate power. He is powerful. All that. Jeremiah 32:17 talks about how the angels and the human beings are limited into what we can do. God is almighty. He is the most high. And he is able to carry out all the plans. Now, again, we're talking about as if we don't know who God is. So there's probably a lot of questions in your mind. Are you really sure about that? We're sitting here and asking these questions. I'm asking that. Because God created everything, is God all-knowing? Is that a good, true statement? God is all-knowing?
Yeah.
So we have a little one here sitting, and we have some little ones out there that are playing out in the room out there, little children. Do you have to teach the little child to do certain things?
Yes.
Yeah. Certain things you don't, though, right? They already know how to do that. Nobody teaches them how to cry. Right? They cry on their own. Who taught them that?
Instinct.
It's just instinct?
Ultimately, God did.
Ultimately, God did. He would know that. How about talking and walking? Is that something we have to teach them? Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, we help them along. But at some point along the line, while they are growing, they start to push themselves up. They start to sit up on their own. We get fascinated when they roll over and start crawling on their own. Those are all things that man did not have to learn. That was something that God gave them. God gave us the ability for that. I've often wondered if you left a newborn and just didn't do anything, just fed the child, changed the child, bathed the child, would that child grow up knowing everything it needs to know? No. We're there. God is all-knowing. We go to him to acquire knowledge. We go to him there. We are constantly discovering new things, learning new things. We are constantly trying to improve our knowledge. Some of you are here wanting to improve your knowledge of who God is. Some may be here asking questions about who is God real. But we are here trying to improve our knowledge, our thing. God doesn't have to do that. God is all-knowing. And because of that, he has existed for everyone. He is greater than all. Genesis 1:1-2. Someone read verse 2. This is going to cover some of what Vince was asking some questions about.
Is it 1:2?
Yeah. Genesis 1:2.
Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was under the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering under the waters.
Okay. It didn't have any specific form to it. We know the earth as in is round now. I don't know if that was if it was round when God first created it. It says it was without form and void. So was it just this big blob out there in the universe, out there in the space? It was without form and void. Darkness was all over the face of the earth. That means that there was no light. Can you picture anything without light? It's dark out. It's starting to get dark out there now, but there's still light out there. Have you ever been to an area where it is utter darkness, where there's no light? In a room, maybe. Close a room and the door, and it's completely dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face, you know, and you bring it right here, and you can't. Chicken house, yeah. Chicken houses are like that, and it gets dark out. That's what it looked like here on this earth when God created it. The very first thing, it looked dark. It was without anything. There was no dry land. At this point, it said God was what? His Spirit was what? Over the what?
Hovering
over the water. So the whole entire earth that was created at that point was nothing but water. Completely. There was no life on this earth. It was without form and life, without life. There was no nothing. Just water was there. When you think of the word hovering, what do you think of? Bent over top. In our world today, I think of a drone or a helicopter that just sits there. You know, you can. I don't have a drone, but you know, you watch on YouTube or whatever, and you see that drone. It just sits there. And kind of hard. Can you imagine the Spirit of God or God Himself sitting there over top of this, just hovering? Now, God is a spirit. He's a spirit being. He doesn't have a body like us. So He's hovering. His Spirit is hovering over that. I think the Hebrew word means like brooding, like a chicken with her wings over top of her, over her chicks, underneath. It's like a brood of chicken, like a mother hen, kind of hovering over top of chickens. That's the picture that it gives you in the Hebrew language. So God's Spirit, to answer Vince's question, who created the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. So He was present there at creation. So oftentimes we think it's just God was there present at creation, but you have to understand that God is three. So all three were present. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. Now it's kind of hard to get our minds around that because we're trying to separate God into three different blocks. And that's not how it is. They're one, but yet three. So
I had asked a coworker, I had a discussion about the Trinity.
Uh-huh.
And she made kind of an interesting analogy. She said, you know, take Clevon. He's a brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's a father. He's an uncle. So there, you have these different roles, but you're still the same person.
Very good. Yes. They all three had different roles. They all had three different job descriptions, maybe. But in our language today, job descriptions. I carry multiple hats where you go things. I don't want to reduce God to that, but it is a great way to understand that God, there's three different aspects to who God is, but yet He's one. There's big words out there, polytheists, you know, they believe multiple, and then you have monotheists and all those words. There's theological words that are out there that if you want to study them, you can study them on your own, because I'm not getting into all that. Mel may have studied that at school about those, but there are different aspects. But we are learning about God as three in one. He's one being, three different distinct personalities. Maybe a great way to put that, or three different roles like that. Any other questions about about God as a spirit, or him hovering over the waters there. Nothing?
Well, no. When I think of the spirit hovering over, I feel like I kind of picture this like eerie, like steam kind of surrounding the earth. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I've watched too many sci-fi movies.
Hey.
And when you think of God like three in one, I mean, I know that I believe in sci-fi, but I mean, it could be kind of that way.
Like,
uh-huh. Not believable by any human mind or.
Yeah. It is going to change as we go through this class. It is going to change some of the way that we view God. I am already, just in when I study and read through this and try to prepare, I am already changing, not changing the what I believe about God, but how I view Him. How I want to understand Him, how things are totally different. And so for me, when you look at that, your illustration of a mist, or we can associate some of that stuff because of movies and things, the Force, you know, and Star Wars and this whole thing. We can kind of picture some of that, but yet we can't. Because God is above all and over all, and so it's really hard for us to grasp the amount of power, the amount of energy, the amount of what's another word I'm looking for? What it took for him to create the earth. And yet he created the earth with his words. And he spoke it into existence. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was without form and void. So, I don't know. What else did you hear in the lesson today?
Okay, sorry, I have another question. So if we were created in his image, were we created in, I mean...
Well, I'm saying that we're created in his image, but we haven't got to that yet.
It's true. Never mind.
Yeah, so,
I don't know.
And I am told by the book, if I follow the book, that I'm not supposed to go down these paths, because I don't want to mislead you. Or get you down a path on something, but right. And that's probably where I misspoke. I probably shouldn't have said that. If I was to follow the book, good question. The Bible tells us as you go through there that we are created in His image, and
right.
Kind of answering maybe the question about the Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. That's another whole realm. But there's three aspects to a person's body. You have the flesh, you have your spirit, and then you have your soul. And this will lead down that path. But that's a good question. Hold on to that, and we'll come through that as you go through this class. I believe you will hear the answer to that question. Write it down. What else? Any other question? What else did you learn from this? On the timeline... kind of got through there. On the timeline, we are right there. So if you have your timeline in your book, we are right there where that arrow is. We didn't talk about much about demons in the spirit world. We read the verse in Colossians where it talks about principalities and powers. I will say this, that as we get to over here past Adam and Eve, we will talk about some of that. Satan, Lucifer, demons. Anybody here believe that demons are real?
Oh,
they're real.
Yes.
They're spirit beings. And, we'll get into some of that stuff. What else? Anything else stand out to you? Class is almost done here.
If God is in all places, all the time, then why does he need... angels to help us. Why doesn't he help us?
Ah, that's a very good question. Anybody hear that? If God is omnipresent and he's all over it all the time, why does he need angels, or why do we need angels to protect us or to be there? Right?
Because we have free will. Sometimes we make the wrong choice.
Could be. Could be. It's a very good question. Write it down. It's a very good question. Now, you're not going to get tired of me saying that. Write it down. Because you want answers, don't you?
Well, you did say that angels are sometimes in the form of human beings. So maybe that's why he has the angels to be in the form of human beings for us. Because we sometimes need to see.
Uh-huh. What did Mel say the angels were?
They're messengers.
They're messengers. That's the Hebrew or Greek word. Is it Greek word? Is as a messenger. They do God's bidding. And when we go through and you get over on the timeline, you get over to around Abraham and Noah and all of them, great men and women throughout history. When you get over there, God used angels to speak to them. God used angels to minister to them. Anybody know what happened in Daniel and the lion's den? I don't think that's a story we talk about, but who shut the lion's mouth when he was thrown in the lion's den? God sent an angel and he shut the lion's mouth so he wouldn't get killed. Again, that's a story way off in the distance. I don't think we actually get that in the timeline because that's in the prophets and we don't talk about all the prophets. But.
Well, and also, I mean, it's probably a good thing. I mean, I think there's a reason that he sends messengers to communicate with us. I mean, just thinking off the top of my head, I think of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who wanted to see God, and God said, well, basically, you can't because you're going to die if you do. And so he let him, he basically passed before him, but didn't let him look at him directly. It was in his own hand he could handle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe that's why.
We don't want to see.
It's more than
not yet.
Ah, God is more than what we can see.
Yeah.
And
but yet I still want to see angels. I would love to see God. I mean, I think of Moses when you're describing that. I think I would love to see what God really looks like. I mean, here and now, why not? That would prove to me that God is real, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without a doubt. God is real. If I could see him, just see him. And that's not necessarily what God wants from us. Anything else?
Very good question about God being at all over. And why does he need angels? All right. Well, I think that's it. I don't think there's anything other on the slide. No, that's the last slide. Next week, we get into God creating nature and the 6 days of creation.